welcome in to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is May 22nd. I got it. Don't worry about it. May 22nd here on the tap. Happy to talk to you guys on a still rainy Milwaukee weather. It's supposed to lighten up and get warmer as the week goes on. Perfect time for Memorial Day weekend. We're definitely looking forward to it. Look forward also to Tapping the Keg episode 287 on Wednesday. Mitch and I will be back in the booth Tuesday night giving you all the hot fire. So I will do my best not to talk too much about Mike Budenholzer, because I'm sure Mitch will have some thoughts on the comments that Budenholzer made. We're going to have stuff on the blog. It's going to be very Bud heavy, no pun intended there, for the next couple of days. And then we will do a little bit of over the Memorial Day weekend. Podcast doesn't sleep. The blog doesn't sleep. I don't know if I can promise podcast every day of the long weekend, but I'll definitely get something out for Saturday, probably maybe Sunday. And if I'm, one of those days I'll probably miss, but I'll try my best. With the Brewers playing and the NBA coming closer to a finals, we'll definitely dive in to all of that. So like I said, we're going to talk about Budenholzer, talk a little bit about the Brewers staying hot, and also look at maybe a Packer or maybe a NFL player that's definitely not going to be a Packer. So let's not even have that conversation tomorrow on the sports radio or today. That should be. But before we do all of that, you got to do SnowTap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What are you waiting for? What? I'm sure a lot of you are already following one. Why don't you follow the other? Why don't you follow a third one? If you've stopped using Facebook because of the whole Zuckerberg thing, fine, that's your prerogative. But we're rocking there recently. We're doing really well. So we'd appreciate all the support you can. Please do it. I swear I don't bother you on those channels, except for Twitter. You can mute me on Twitter if you want and just come back for the articles. We post early in the morning, get you guys ready to go for the day of sports. And then subscribe, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever you prefer to listen on your podcast. If you have, that's also too. I know that I think it's hard to get your podcast on Spotify. I think you actually have to be kind of a big swinging dick. But if you have a podcast outlet that you'd like to see us on, hit me up. Let me know. SnowTapWI, SnowTap12 at Gmail is the email, I guess you could reach me at if you guys have those. I'm kind of hoping as we get closer into the sort of that dog days of summer to have like an inbox for you guys to ask me questions. So then we can have sometimes just sort of mail. I wouldn't even call mailbags, but just have days where maybe there's only baseball to talk about and we can roll it out to you guys and give you guys a voice and I'm sure you guys have some fire flame topics, but no longer dancing around. Let's get into the Mike Budenholzer press conference. It was yesterday. He passed the flying colors. I don't think there was one thing that gave anyone pause. It's kind of amazing to see this out of Bucks Twitter. It is like kind of like an alternate world. It's like they all went to the Shogun world and Westworld, and it's totally different. Granted, the Shogun world is more violent than the actual Westworld. A little spoiler there, sorry. But at the same time, like, it's still much more peaceful and zen type of feeling with the Bucks Twitter, Bucks Online community, that no one's really kind of raising their eyebrows right now at Budenholzer. Now, if he brings back Joe Prunty, maybe there's a little bit of an eye raise. You know, Mitch was talking about on the podcast yesterday about how he really didn't want Prunty to come back. He wanted just to start complete fresh. And I think Budenholzer wants to, too. I think he was, you know, doing the media thing. And it's clear that this guy's been around. Like, he definitely passed the test. There wasn't one thing where we're like, oh, wait a second. You said what? He hit all the notes. He went, I want to develop Giannis. I want to make Giannis into this better player. I want to unlock their defensive potential. That's kind of the big quote. I guess that is the quote. So do the Bucks have that defensive potential? I definitely think they do. I mean, Giannis is a defensive player of the year in the waiting. It's just, can you really get Chris Middleton the buy-in for a whole season? I think Chris Middleton, what he showed on defense in the playoffs is the Chris Middleton you want to see. Now, they're going to add probably more of a switching element. Budenholzer was hyper-aggressive, a lot like Jason Kidd, but I think a more refined, less childish version of what Kidd was running with the Bucks, and definitely making sure that corner threes are taken care of and that they're sealed off. I think this team would like Thon Maker to be a factor. I think they are a much better team with Thon Maker on defense from just overall size and stature. Now, when it comes to rebounding, they're at a significant disadvantage, and probably why they may need to find somebody who can clean up the boards, especially if they think Thon Maker could be a starter next year. I don't really know who that player is. I think you just have to see how the cookie crumbles, as they say. So where that defense... I think it all, obviously, it's cliche, but it all starts with defense. So if that's where Budenholzer is going to start, that's great. And I know that there are going to be guys on his staff that are going to be worried about the offense and that are going to make sure that Giannis develops into an even better player and that Jabari Parker becomes a more savvy offensive player. They maybe unlock things with Tony Snell, Malcolm Brogdon, Sterling Brown. I'm going to write about this on Snowtap WI. It is a website about what are the players that can kind of have unlocked by what Bud's done. And the examples are the wings. So the question is can these guys sort of take that next step under him? Is it going to take more than just a year? Is it going to take 2 years? And do the Bucks really have 2 years? I don't know. That's a great question. You know, how patient are Bucks fans going to be? And this is something that Mitch and I love to rag on, but the Bucks fans really do need to have some patience. It could be sometime in October, probably right around Halloween, where I'm telling you guys to settle down because the Bucks are 3-5. They haven't really looked that good. It's the same old shit. They're disappointing in the new arena, and it's all these things. And I'm just going to say, well, you're going to look stupid. Because it's going to take time. And I don't know how long it would take fans to turn on Budenholzer. I think you have to give him a year grace period at minimum. I would say even longer. But I know how fickle and cynical Bucks fans are. So they would immediately want to get the fire and pitchforks if, for whatever reason, the Bucks were vastly underperforming. I agree that there is no room for error, but if for whatever reason the Bucks underperform next year, I think it might be a GM thing, and then you explore what else you need in that front office, because I don't know if it'll be the coach at that point. Then you have to start looking at the GM, and then is that the right move to make? Is it just, it could be one, I don't even really want to go down this path, because it's kind of like the worst case scenario for the Bucks. The hope is that the Bucks are a top four team in the East, and they're contending with Boston, Philadelphia, and if Cleveland is there with LeBron, that they're right there with Cleveland. And so that's what you want from Milwaukee. Can you get it? I don't know. It's a great unknown because I don't know what this roster is going to look like next season. I think it is a long way to go for just what the makeup of this team is going to be and who's exactly going to be part of it besides Giannis. There's a reason that Giannis was the only name played in the arena. I realized that it was done because he is the star. He is the person that's going to put asses all over that new arena. But at the same time, like, let's be real. Nobody knows what's next. I would take a Kawhi Leonard type to get Chris Middleton off this roster. But anybody else, I think it's free game. And I think you're going to see a lot of wheeling and dealing from the Bucks, which you could argue might be a scary thing going forward. So like I said, if you guys want more on Budenholzer, we're going to have something on the blog. Mitch and I, I'm sure, will chat about it in the podcast tomorrow. Moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Milwaukee Brewers continue their sort of hot streak. They win their eighth game in their last 11, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-2. I was in attendance at Miller Park. Good time to be out at the ballpark. Thank God for a roof. Observations were that, you know, I really didn't have that many, like, observations. I didn't really walk around too much. I just sort of sat in my seat, we had some people who were probably celebrating, you know, post-college and just kind of getting drunk on a Monday, which is just a wild move. I was on the bus ride back from Jackson. These kids from Indiana happened to get tickets, and they were like, yeah, we're just going to get shit-faced here tonight. Is there a place to do it? And I was thinking in my head, I was racking my brain, I'm like, there really isn't much to do on a Monday night here in Milwaukee, especially on a cold, rainy night. If it was like nice outside, yeah, maybe there'd be a few more people out. But these guys were young, hunting for smokes. I may have mentioned that there's a new strip club open in Milwaukee because that's the kind of guy I am. You know, you just drop a little subtle like, hey, it's kind of close on Old World Third. And they can't know about Old World Third, but it's probably a good spot for these young lads this evening. Anyways, to go back to the observations, one of the observations I had was, I don't understand these people who just continue to wear Cubs gear and when the Cubs aren't playing. I get that you're a Cubs fan. You don't need to fucking wear your Cubs gear when they're not playing the fucking Brewers. We get it. You like Anthony Rizzo. You like wearing a stupid fucking W hat. Like, I just don't understand Cubs fans. We had a blog earlier today. I don't know what was in the fucking water. You had the Manny Machado thing. You had the guy, douchebag, showing it off outside of Washington's arena. Like, come on, after Capitals game. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm just so sick of Cubs fans. I have finally hit my breaking point with Cubs fans. It took a little while. It took a little time, but I'm over it. I'm done with it. And maybe it has something to do with the Brewers being good and knowing that it's kind of a rivalry again, even though the Cubs did sweep the Brewers earlier. It means more, and now it's like when you see Cubs stuff at Miller Park, it used to kind of just be a shrug it off, like you look like an asshole. Now it's like I want to stomp it out and burn it in a fryer at one of the concession stands. That's kind of where I'm at right now with Cubs fans. But dovetailing that back to the Brewers, because obviously I went on a very good tangent ride there. So yes, the Milwaukee Brewers do get a win. You do wonder if Chase Anderson has returned to form. I'm not ready to buy completely in because the Diamondbacks are just in an awful spot right now. They've lost 9 of their last 10 games. They've lost 5 straight. Their only win in their last 10 games was against the Brewers last week when Julie Chassin pitched for them, and it was a 2-1 loss for the Brewers. But Chassin gets another chance tonight. We'll see how he does. Granted, Jake Lamb being added back to the equation is no bueno for Chassin, who has struggled with lefties. Granted, he's been really good this year. The Brewers do see Matt Koch, Cook has been just an absolute gas can. So Brewers do get to tee off on him. That should be quite an experience. Bet the over tonight. But yes, Chase Anderson did look like he returned to form. And it's hard to judge after that rusty first inning where he walks in a run. He really settled into a groove, gave up one mistake to Lamb. So he keeps giving up home runs, which as a concern. But at some point, maybe he rides that out. And maybe Johnson and him keep tweaking it and get him back to kind of that 2017 form where he was not giving up home runs at all. He's close to his 2017 total. I think he's 3 away from it, which is wild. But that was kind of Anderson's MO. So the analytic community who said he was going to regress has been absolutely right. He has regressed in that category, no question about it. Granted, he did hold the water well tonight. And Lorenzo Cain, Travis Shaw, Domingo Santana all provided the offense for the Brewers with home runs. And you gotta love it. Four runs, 6 hits, 3 of those coming via the long ball. And chicks do dig the long ball. All right, very quickly to wrap us up here on the podcast, I just wanted to give a talk to some of our Packer fans. Put my arm around your shoulder and let you know that there is not a chance in hell Richie Incognito is a Green Bay Packer. I just want you guys all to know that. I want you guys to all be comfortable with it. There is no way Richie Incognito becomes a Packer. Packers have already reported they're not planning to pursue him. The Bills cut him loose after he decided to unretire. Guy is about as a loose cannon as he gets. He is a divisive personality to add to a locker room. I've heard him on the Part of My Take podcast. He's funny. But even the PMT guys say, like, he is exactly what you think he is. He like sees us. He goes like, "What's up, nerds?" Like, he is literally the definition of an 80s bully. I do think the shit with Jonathan Martin, there was a lot more underlying shit to that. I don't really hold him as much accountable as maybe we did back in, I don't know, was that 2014 that happened or 2013? It was, I think Martin had a lot of shit going on as judgment of his nearly like shooting up a school. I mean, I think he was just so fucked in the head, but I don't think Incognito helped it out at all. So yes, he will not be a Packer. They need a right guard, but Richie Incognito is not that right guard. So for those hoping to have a number six, and also, he would not get 69. What would he do? He is a 69 guy, obviously, and it's David Bakhtiari's. And David Bakhtiari has embraced the 69 life almost more than Rob Gronkowski, but he gets less credit for it. And if you think David Bakhtiari would be giving up 69, you would have another thing coming. You'd have to pry that from his ninja grip. And if you're not going to do that, then step off, bitch. Shout out to Meet the Parents. And that's probably a good way to end the podcast. All right, guys. Tapping the Keg tomorrow. We'll be back on the Daily Tap for Thursday. All right, take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.